Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic hits.
But first up on the Niall Boylan Show today. By the way, I want to give out the number first of all because your opinions count on this show. And I always say this when I cover this show. It's that it's your opinions that count. We like to hear your feedback and your opinions on the topics we're talking about. And the best way to contact us is by WhatsApp on 087-188-0008. Drop us a WhatsApp on whatever we're talking about if you have an opinion on it. 087-188-0008. That is the number that you will get us on. And you're going to be very interested in our first discussion today because a journalist from popular news site Dublin Live went out with the Gardaí from Pearse Street Garda Station for a day on the streets of the capital to find out, well, what the situation is with street-level crime during the day. And it's kind of weird because, you know, when crimes happen at night in cities, whether it's Galway, Cork, Limerick, Dublin, when crimes happen at night, it's almost expected. Oh, yeah, that's when crimes happen. But when they happen in broad daylight, there's a completely different attitude towards it because we like to feel that we're safe in our cities during the day from crime. And wait till you hear what this journalist witnessed just spending one day with the Gardaí from Pearse Street Station. We're going to find out in a moment. But before we do, I want to ask you a couple of questions here. Whether it's Dublin, Limerick, Cork, Galway, wherever we're talking about, do you regularly or have you ever witnessed crimes being committed in broad daylight? Whether it's shoplifting, whether it's, you know, fights breaking out. I hate when I see videos being posted online of, you know, fights taking place on Grafton Street in Dublin or Patrick Street in Cork in broad daylight. Daylight, because you're thinking, you know, there's tourists walking through these cities and they're seeing people kicking the head off each other in broad daylight. So if you've ever witnessed a crime in broad daylight in your city, I would love to hear from you. Send us a WhatsApp now, 087-188-0008. Do you think our cities, our major cities, are safe during the day? Or has it just got to the stage now where every city, it's just awash with crime? And finally, the other question I have to ask you is, what do you think the answer is to cleaning up our cities of crime during the day? 087-188-0008 is our number. And there's people sending in WhatsApps already. You can do so as well. 087-188-0008. Now, as I said, one journalist with Dublin Live spent a day with the Gardaí from Pearse Street Station. And Pearse Street Garda Station, for those of you who aren't from Dublin, that would be the busiest Garda station in Dublin because it covers such a huge area of the city centre. And the guards in that particular Garda station would be very, very busy. The journalist's name is Danny Duval and he joins us on the line. You're very welcome to Ireland's Classic Hits Radio, Danny. How are you?
Good afternoon, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm good. You had an eventful day with the Gardaí.
I did. I went out with the guards from Pearse Street on February 17th, so Friday, February 17th, and we got to see kind of what the guards do on a daily basis. I suppose, you know, the public are well used to kind of seeing the guards out and about, but we wanted to kind of give them a more kind of behind the scenes look into exactly what they do on a daily basis, and that was why we wanted to do the piece.
And I presume you live in Dublin yourself, do you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, and you're regularly in the city centre like I would be. Do you witness crimes yourself during the day?
I suppose not as much as you would think. Especially going out with the guards, I notice I seen crime a lot more. I don't know what that is, but the areas in particular that we were in were kind of in Temple Bar, Dame Street, Stephen's Green, kind of some of the busiest areas in Dublin. Very popular for people when they want to go out to socialise. So obviously, yeah, you do see the odd bit of crime, but we witnessed a lot on the particular day that we went out with the guards.
Okay, well, let's go through some of the crimes that you did witness, because I was reading up on them, and I mean, one of them involved a knife or a blade. So tell us about the main ones that you did witness. Like, if you were to put it down as a figure, how many crimes did you come across with the guards during that day?
Well, 15 people were arrested and 10 were brought before the court. And that was
okay.
just under this particular operation, Operation Citizen. So guards on different operations would have made other arrests. But on this particular operation, there was 15 arrests. And numerous different crimes. One in particular that we've seen, a young lad, maybe 13 or 14, flagged down the patrol van that we are in, and he told the guards that he had been robbed at knife point.
Oh my God!
By a group of youths. He said they were wearing balaclavas and one had an imitation firearm.
So, yeah, what time of day was this?
This was a little bit later on in the day. This was maybe 7 or 8 o'clock.
And this was in Dublin. This was in Dublin city centre.
Yeah, so this happened at outside the gates of Stephen's Green.
Oh wow!
On a Friday afternoon, he was a young lad who had come in into the city centre to meet his friend to go to the park and whatnot. And he was approached by a group of youths who had knives, and they stole a designer jacket that he was wearing.
That's bizarre. You know, I don't know even why we act surprised when we hear stories like this, because, as you said, you witnessed over 10 arrests taking place. So talk me through some of the crimes that you did witness.
Another crime that we were called to was a man had stolen a number of designer t-shirts from a high-end department store on Grafton Street. So he went down, but by the time we arrived, the security in that particular shop had managed to retrieve the items. But that was in the middle of the day. That was broad daylight. That was 11, 12 o'clock in the day on Friday in Dublin on Grafton Street.
So that was literally someone walking into a shop, 12 o'clock during the day, one of the busiest time periods, and shoplifting. Right, I'd say shoplifting, did you get the feeling that shoplifting is a huge, huge issue in the city centre?
Absolutely. It doesn't seem to be, though, a kind of concerted effort to shoplift. It doesn't seem like there's like organised gangs, particularly from what we've seen, organised gangs. It seems like there's individuals who are going in on a whim and just essentially trying their luck. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm sure there probably are elements of kind of organised shoplifting gangs, but we didn't witness that. We just seen kind of people going in on a whim and just trying to shoplift. That particular guy I mentioned stole, I think, upwards of €1,500 worth of T-shirts.
My God, it must have been expensive T-shirts.
To manage to kind of get rid of them. I'll take them off him.
Now, the next crime, of course, which is huge in every city in Ireland, is drug dealing and drug taking. And I remember a couple of years ago, I was bringing my son, who was, I think he was 5 at the time, I was bringing him into town on a Sunday. He was going to a pet shop that was in town, that's up by Parliament Street. And we were walking along the quays, and he got his first, at 5 years of age, got his first view of drug dealing and drug taking place, drug dealing and buying drugs taking place. We were literally standing there walking up towards the pet shop, and along the side of the road, at the Dublin Council buildings up there along the quays, there were lads literally drug dealing in front of us in broad daylight on the path. I mean, my son asked me what was going on, and I just told him that they were just bold men who were doing bold things. But like, it can happen at any time. Did you see much drug taking, drug dealing going on?
Absolutely. The South Quay is in particular, and around the laneways between Temple Bar, are a particular problem for Gardaí. Westmoreland Street and Dallaire Street too, but particularly the South Quays are a major problem for Gardaí. They're aware of it and they're clamping down on it. We spent some time with the Divisional Drugs Unit, so they also deploy plainclothes officers who are there to blend in. I don't know if you've seen in one of the pictures we have, there was a guard who was dressed in a tracksuit, and he had a gym bag, and he looked like he was just coming from the gym.
I did see that, yeah.
So while people say you might not necessarily always see guards in town, there is always the presence. While it might not be, you know, the guards in the van or the guards in a patrol car, there are plainclothes officers deployed across the city centre tackling drug use and drug taking.
And what was happening when the guards were catching these people drug dealing? Were they actually arresting them, or were they just moving on? Like, were arrests made for drug dealing in the city centre?
Absolutely. We witnessed 3 arrests. by plainclothes officers. There was one man who swallowed a number of small bags of narcotics when he was approached by Gardaí. Another man had drugs for sale and supply. He was also arrested. So we witnessed a number of arrests by these plainclothes Gardaí.
And did the guards tell you what happened? You see, I know people are listening to this now and they get very frustrated because they know that when these arrests are made, and I'm sure it's frustrating for the guards as well, these people probably have a litany of crimes. They have, you know, so many crimes under their belt and convictions. I mean, I've heard of people being arrested with 150 previous convictions, which is crazy. Is there frustration from the Gardaí, did you get, that, you know, when they arrest these people, they know that they're going to appear in court whatever the next day and they're going to get off, they're going to be back on the streets the next day?
Absolutely. The guards executed, the day that we went out in particular, the guards executed a number of bench warrants. And the guards have no discretion in terms of bench warrants. So if somebody has a bench warrant out for their arrest, it doesn't matter what it's for, they have no discretion. They have to be brought before the court. And unfortunately, it's out of the guards' hands then. It's the court who ultimately decide what happens to kind of offenders. The guards no longer have that power. It must be frustrating. It seems like the guards are seeing the same people over and over again. So some of them even recognise the guards, and some of them knew them by name.
Yeah, I mean, if you know the guards in the city centre by first name, it means you're probably, if you've been in trouble too many times. Finally, Danny, did you sense that there was that the guards were putting their life in danger? These guards, like, was there danger there that you saw and witnessed?
Absolutely. I suppose it is a dangerous job, but I suppose they know what they're getting themselves into. And we went on a number of blue light dashes across the city. We were in the back of the patrol van, me and a photographer, and a call would come over the radio, and without a second's hesitation, they pressed the blue light and they'd race across the city wherever the crime was committed. And usually they'd only have scant kind of information about what exactly.
Of course, they're going into a blind, aren't they?
Exactly. So they don't know what they're going into. It could be a whole multitude of things. Like one example, there was a restaurant there on Lower Georgia Street. A panic alarm had set off, and the guards told me that was a priority one call. So a number of businesses in the city centre have panic alarms, and once they're tripped, the guards have no information about what it is. It could be an armed robbery, it could be an assault, it could be anything. On this particular occasion, somebody bumped off it by accident, but we sped across the city and got there, and it turned out to be a false alarm, thankfully. But as I said, they're going into this blind. They don't know what's happening. They don't know. They don't know what's going to meet them at the other end of the call. Just going back to some of the guards, some of the searches he conducted. One man was arrested in possession of a knife. So on a constant basis, at every kind of turn, at every second, they face danger. But he's done an incredible job.
They do, and I think people listening just need to realise that, because generally when we talk about stuff like that, the amount of messages that come in saying the guards, there's no visible presence on the streets. I mean, they can't be everywhere. I just wonder that if I was mugged on O'Connell Street this afternoon, would there be a guard within earshot that would be able to come and help me? And the answer is probably no. But they do a great job, I have to say, and they are putting their life at risk. And it was an eye-opener for you. Danny Duval from Dublin Live, thanks very much for joining us on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. Cheers. That's Danny Duval, a journalist with Dublin Live. And there you heard it yourself. He spent a whole shift with the Gardaí from Pier Street Garda Station in Dublin, and some of the things he witnessed, someone being caught with a blade, shoplifting. Shoplifting is a huge issue in every city, where people just think they can walk into these shops and just walk back out with whatever they want under their arm. 1,500 quid, I think he said, worth of T-shirts. That's either a lot of T-shirts or one very, very expensive T-shirt. But drug dealing as well. It's a horrible thing to see in any of our cities. It really is, because, as I said, me bringing my 5-year-old son into town that day, I didn't want him to witness that. And I know he didn't know what was going on, but children shouldn't be exposed to crime. And that's what turns me off going into city centres, is that you see this. Anyway, I want to hear from you. The lines are open. 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Send us a WhatsApp now. You can send us a voice note if it's not... if it's not easy for you to get to the phone to take a call. I'd love to hear from you now. Have you witnessed crime in broad daylight in any of our cities? And what do you think the answer is to cleaning up our cities? Because I'm telling you now, a lot of these people that are arrested, they're back on the street within 24 hours, if not less. That's how they run up these convictions. 150, 180 convictions. Absolute madness how someone is walking on our streets that has 150 convictions. Like, why? Someone who has 150 convictions obviously has no respect for law and order. Let me go to John. How are you, John? You're on Ireland's Classic Hits. How are things? Oh, sorry, James. Sorry, it's James. How are you, James?
Afternoon to you, Jeremy.
Good. Was that an eye-opener for you, listening to Danny's story of spending the whole shift with the guards, or is that something you already knew? You knew how bad it was?
Well, I'd see how bad it is. Like, I drive a taxi around the city all day.
Is this in Dublin, is it?
This in Dublin, yeah. So I'd see it all the time. Like, you know, I'd see open drug dealing, you see assaults, you know. You see, I've seen people, you know, as you mentioned there, someone snatched 10 T-shirts from a no-mark shop. I have seen people doing snatch and grabs from, especially like Penny's on O'Connell Street. You see just them running out with an arm full of stuff. So you see it all the time. You're asking what the solution is.
Sorry, is that how they're shoplifting now? Because my understanding was that, you know, the old trick of putting it in the bag or shoving it up their jumper, they're literally just taking stuff off the shelves now at these shops and running out the door with them.
Pretty much, yeah. Because if you have two or three people, like if you have one security guard and you have two or three people doing it, what they'll probably do is have the lower item. So someone grabs a 10 euro T-shirt, runs, distracts the security guard, and then someone grabs the 1,000 euro jacket and runs the opposite way. So that's basically how they do it. So if you have three or four people, so this is how people, you know, are you know, basically ordering stuff to steal. And, you know, this is how they get away with it, you know.
And you're seeing this on a daily basis, are you, driving around?
I won't say a daily basis. The one thing I do see on a daily basis, of course, is open begging, open drug dealing. I see that all the time. Like, it's rampant in the city. So I think a couple of solutions would be, number one, more Gardaí, of course. That would be the biggest thing. But the second thing would be is harsher sentences. And a third thing as well, and a lot of people are on the gravy train, is the legal profession. Because the amount of times you see somebody up for 80, 90, 100 convictions, and they're there getting legal aid. So what they should do is this: 3 strikes, no more legal aid. You have to start paying for your own solicitor. You might think twice about committing crimes.
The legal aid thing is something that's obviously everybody has a right to a defence, but the legal aid thing is like, if we even knew the bill, and haven't spent a lot of time up in the criminal courts, as I have, some of the stories you see would just annoy you so much. Like, and again, it's fellas and girls going before the judge, and the judge knows them so well, and it's like, James is up in front of us again. Now, James, you already have 150 previous convictions, and then James's solicitor will come in and say, Your Honour, James has had a hard life. He's had a hard life, you know. He hasn't had it easy. He's had addiction problems and all that. And then they just walk back out. It's a revolving door system, isn't it?
Well, that's it. And as I said, everybody's on the gravy train, like, especially, as I said, mentioning just the solicitors, like, you know. And exactly what you said, it's always somebody else's fault that these people are committing crimes, that they've had a bad life, you know, they've had a bad upbringing, their mother used to beat the father used to beat the mother, and it's always somebody else's fault except theirs. And, you know, as you mentioned as well, we have a revolving door situation where, you know, if you had harsher sentences and the judges actually imposed the sentences properly, we'd see a lot less of this. Now, I rarely, very rarely come into the city socialising. And the last time I was in the city was around the 27th of December. And I, myself, my wife, the children and some friends, we went for dinner in a restaurant on Walton Street.
Yes.
So we're walking up Henry Street at about 6:15. The street was buzzing. There was people there shopping, coming from work. We walked back down at about 9:30. Totally different atmosphere.
Completely.
Homeless people. Now, I feel sorry for them, don't get me wrong, but homeless people, loads of homeless people are all bedding down for the night. Alcoholics, people full of drink, people full of drugs, teenage gangs roaming around deliberately looking for trouble. You can see that they're just looking for trouble. You know. Now, I'm a born and raised Dublin. I'm a very proud Northsider. where it horrifies.
It is. It's horrible to see. It's horrible to see your city like that. Thanks very much for your call, James. We've a lot of calls to come to. I'll come to you, Susan and Breda, in a moment. If you want to get in on this, WhatsApp 087-188-0008. And if anybody can answer this question for me, very simply, because it's something I've always wondered, and I would love this question answered before we finish up this topic today. How does someone with 160, say, and by the way, you might think I'm exaggerating. I'm not. I've heard of people having 160 convictions.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
It is the Niall Boylan Show live for a Wednesday with Jeremy Dixon and filling in for Niall till 2 o'clock. And we've a huge reaction to this coming in. We're talking about, well, an expose that a journalist did on daytime crime in Dublin city centre. By the way, this isn't just Dublin, it happens in all our major cities, and the sort of stuff that is going on in broad daylight and what we can do to prevent it from happening. Susan, I'm sorry for holding you for so long. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you.
Now, don't mention the branch of chemist, but what did you witness happening in a chemist?
Myself and my husband was walking through this particular chemist, and we seen two youths, lads. One held a carrier bag open and the other just scooped his arm around all the quite expensive aftershaves, men's aftershaves, into the bag. So my husband kept an eye on him. I ran round to the security man and told him what was happening. And the security man looked over when these two guys just walked out the shop. And I said, there they go, quick, quick. He says, no, there's nothing I can do. I said, but I've just told you. No, unless I witness it myself, there's nothing I can do.
What? That's bizarre.
Thought, how crazy. Why did I bother telling them, you know, if they're not doing anything?
Well, why did they bother hiring a security guard if... So he's saying that he has to physically witness. He has to physically witness himself than putting now you're talking to, so I have an image of this. These two lads just going into the chemist. One opens the bag over the shelf. The other one just takes his two hands and puts all the bottles into the bag, and they calmly just walk out of the shop.
Exactly. I said, well, you know, crime pays, obviously, if you're not doing anything about it.
And the security guard said, I have to witness this happening to do something better. I don't believe that for a second.
He said, there's nothing I can do about it.
By the way, I'm not saying I don't believe he said that. I'm sure he said, but I don't believe that that's the attitude that the security guard has. And you know, if you're talking a bag full of aftershades or perfume, you're talking about, that's a robbery that could be up to €500, maybe even more.
Yes, I mean, I noticed that they were good ones that they took. So,
and the message that is sending out, because those two scumbags, that's what they are, by the way. Those two scumbags will go back and do that again, and they'll tell their mates, by the way, you can go into ex-chemist, you can just rob out of it, and nothing is going to be done about it. That must have been very frustrating for you and your husband to see that happening.
Oh, yeah. I was annoyed because, you know, we bothered. My husband kept an eye. I bothered to go and hunt out the security man.
Of course you did, yeah.
And I thought, well, this is crazy. Yeah.
And what city was this in?
In Limerick.
It was in Limerick. Limerick city centre, middle of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, there's brazen and then there's brazen, isn't there?
I thought, you know, even if he couldn't chase them out the shop, he could have contacted the guards or something. They wouldn't have found it difficult finding two lads with a big carrier bag full of gear, you know? You think they would have done something.
Well, yeah, if anybody can tell me, because I'm at a loss here, to understand what happened in this situation. If someone has a knowledge of the way security guards work and stuff like that, send me a voice note, 087-188-0008, because I need to know why the security guard... Now, when you told the security guard what was happening, was there a situation where the two lads were still in the shop? The security guard could have stopped them.
They were literally going out the door, so he could have chased after them or something. I mean, they had a big carrier bag. One of them, you know, would have slowed him down a bit, I would say. But he just shrugged his shoulders and said, no, there's nothing I can do.
But there was an opportunity for him to stop that happening, was there?
Well, I don't know if he could have caught them. They were on the way out the door. They were still in the shop, but they were heading to the exit.
That's literally telling every shoplifter in Ireland that it's it's okay to do that, that you can just walk out of a shop. I'm really at a loss. Now, I don't know if this is a justification, but this is from Larry, and he says, that security guard is probably earning €12 an hour. It's hardly worth getting a punch up with two lads for €12 an hour.
You're
either doing your job or you're not doing your job. It should be irrelevant how much you're getting paid. That's the job you do.
Yeah, but plus I would have thought all these shops would have security cameras.
Of course they would, yeah.
Seen these guys on the camera, so I don't know.
Stay there for a second, please, Susan, because, Breida, that's the point that you want to make, how brazen these people are. Can you believe that story about these two lads just filling up their bag in front of the security guard?
100% I can't, yeah. Unfortunately, they don't care anymore. They've no fear. The problem is there's no fear. There always needs to be a little bit of fear of authority and whatever else. They don't care anymore. They will jaw up to you, stick a knife in you now as quick as look at you. And I can see why the security guard. Maybe he knows them. Maybe they have prior, you know, he's prior knowledge of them, and they're two little thugs that can knife them as quick as they look at them. So, you know, while it's very frustrating, I can see why people kind of go, well, I'm not paid enough money.
Okay, I'm in two minds about this. You know, because first of all, I was like, that security guard is a waste of space. But then I'm thinking, would I put my life... they probably could. They probably were carrying a blade or something. Now, would I risk getting stabbed over somebody else's property? But then what is the point in these shops having security?
But it's not like, probably 9 times out of 10, he probably would do something about it. But I'm just saying he may have known the two guys and he didn't want to explain to the lady that these are dangerous guys and I'm not prepared to confront them. And on that note, I don't see why the guard should confront these little thugs either, because they're not properly equipped. They don't have stab vests or anything else. They have to go home to their family at night. If I was married to a guard, I wouldn't want him putting his life in danger.
But then we just have a situation where thugs like these two lads can just feel free. And by the way, I'm sure that wasn't their first rodeo. I'm sure they're career criminals, and they're literally going around from chemist to chemist, robbing that aftershave, which has then been sold, by the way, on social media. I'm sure it's been sold on social media. And by the way, if you ever buy anything, a lot of the stuff, if you see an ad on Facebook or something from Johnner who's selling 20 bottles of Jean Paul Gaultier for a fiver, you know where that came from. So, but then we should just leave the shops, the doors open, and let them just walk in.
And my daughter works there part-time, and I was over there a couple of weeks ago, and this scrote, that's what I called him, walked in, picked up something, walked around, ate. But one of the lads said to him, you have to pay, you can't just eat something. And my daughter said to him, it's X amount of money. Now, he never said that to the chap. But the minute my daughter opened her mouth, he started jawing up to her. And, of course, Mama there intervened, you know. But he wasn't taking it from... Like, a lot of the time, they won't take anything from a woman because they don't like women telling them what to do.
Yeah.
He was as brazen as you like. He walked around, he asked me, good luck. I was walking around asking because I said, this fellow doesn't know how. But, like, he was going to walk out the door. Only he was coming. It was only when my daughter said, that's $1.95, that he threw the money at him. Whereas when the other chap said to him, kind of laughed at him. Now, I don't know, maybe he realised at that stage he wasn't getting away with it. But he was happy. He was doing his best to try and walk out the door and he didn't give a damn.
It's very frustrating. Thanks very much for your call, Breida. It's very frustrating listening to this because what it appears to me is that we are literally living in a lawless society where security guards are afraid. Now, in fairness, I've seen plenty of videos on social media over the last couple of years of security guards taking on these shoplifters for even taking a cup of coffee or a slice of bread or something like that, or a pan of bread off the shelf. So some security guards will take this on. Now, here's a message. That's all to do with security guards. Defamation cases are so high that they could get a good payout. Yes, I get that. That if you falsely accuse somebody of shoplifting, you'll be taken to court and you'll be sued. I get that. So the shoplifters... security have one thing in common. It's called SCONE, S-C-O-N-E. And it means you have to be able to see it, conceal it, observe it, non-payment and exit. Okay, so they're the four things that they're, well, that's what this person is claiming, that they have to go by. So that you have to see it happening, you have to concede it, observe it happening, you have to confirm that it was not paid for, and exit. I don't know what that means. But all these shops have CCTV. Literally every corner of a shop has CCTV, which will stand up in court and show the two lads emptying the aftershave into their bag. I just don't get it. Jason, how are you?
Good afternoon, Jack.
It's very frustrating listening to this, isn't it?
No, not really, because welcome to modern world, modern Ireland, modern everywhere. Certain states in America now, they don't even prosecute. The police won't show up. Look at the videos. They pull up in their car, walk in with their trolley, take what they want, what they need. Like, they're not robbing for necessity here. They're taking what they want and what they need. They'll walk out in the car and drive off. Not a thing they can do. Security guard puts his hands on somebody, he's going to make sure he's right, because if not, he's being sued. Shop is being sued. Them security guards are there literally for cosmetic purposes and insurance purposes. If there's a security guard on the shop, they can claim all that back. They're told not to go near them. They're told not to go near these kids, because the laws are now stacked in favour of the criminal.
So, now, are you claiming that the security is just for cosmetic purposes, that they don't have any power?
It's not that they don't have power. They don't want to get involved. For 12 quid an hour, you're going to lose your job, and then if they come after you with a personal liability suit, you lose your home? Nah, you're all right, mate.
But then,
are you really going to take a blade for somebody else's product, for a bottle of aftershave? Because you know one of these little scrouts will have a blade, or a needle, because fortunately a lot of them have drugs problems. And you're really going to take a syringe for 12 quid an hour to protect some multinationals who just write it off on insurance anyway?
Yeah, but then us, the shoppers, wonder why these products are so much more expensive. They're expensive because the shops have to pay for security and so on and so forth.
And because they know they'll get the money. Either way, they'll get the money. We're stupid as consumers. Because somebody on Instagram says this is the best thing ever, everybody rushes out in a panic to buy it. Price goes through the roof. And
okay.
Then it becomes an item that people want to rob.
Okay, what you're basically saying then is, Jason, for want of a better word, lawless. This is a lawless society. And that shoplifters should be given the green light just to take whatever they want without being stopped or without the risk of being arrested.
Well, what they're going to be told you now is it's a non-personal violent crime. So why put your hands on somebody? It's only a product. It's not a person. Jeremy, my mother-in-law was robbed at syringe point by a syringe on O'Connell, or just off O'Connell Street on the quays waiting on the bus, 2 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. Nobody came to her aid. People walked by. Well, this girl came up with a syringe to back of her.
I've always said that if you're mugged in the city centre, in any city centre, the people around you are more likely to video it than actually help you.
Yeah.
It's very sad. It really is very sad.
Because nobody now wants to get involved, because people know you put a hand on anybody now. The guards don't go into these housing estates, they're afraid to touch them. Teachers are afraid to discipline kids. You're not allowed to shout at them. You're not allowed to roar at them. Come on.
So what do you think would happen now if I, straight after this show, I'd love a new bottle of aftershave, straight after this show I went into my local chemist, which is only 5 minutes away, went up to the counter where the aftershave is and took a bottle of it and put it in my pocket. What would happen? Yeah.
Well, if the security guard did stop you, you'd get arrested. Why? Because you're not like them. See, that's the difference. They know. They know what they're going after. They know what they want. You'd stick out. They just walk in. They just won't go near them. I walked in town. I walked in a big department store a long time ago, and I seen it. Security guards knew them. They were sitting in there. He's coming in. He's coming in. He's coming in. And they were outside then selling the stuff.
It's absolutely...
You'd want to walk around with your eyes open for a while. Walk through Dublin City Centre or come out with somebody that knows the City Centre with your eyes open. Take these rose-tinted glasses you have off, right, and have a real look at what's going on, and you'll see where the real problem is. People don't care anymore. They're more engrossed in what's in front of their screen than what's going on around them.
Thanks very much for your call, Jason. Paul, I'm going to come to you in a moment. You've quite a shocking story. Will you hang on there for a second?
Yeah, indeed, Jeremy.
Thanks very much. We're talking about daylight crime in our cities in Ireland. And the fact that, well, the feeling I'm getting from all the calls coming in is that nothing is being done about it. That literally people can walk into chemists, walk into shops now and steal things. And unless there happens to be a guard nearby, you are going to get away with it. Let's have a listen to this voice note that came in.
So I have a little bit of experience in this because I worked in retail for a lot of years. And from what I can remember, the security guard has to see these guys coming into the store, they have to keep their eyes on them all the time. They have to see them steal something and then they have to apprehend them. If they take their eyes off of them, if these little scuts sometimes set up these incidents where they might steal something and before they're arrested, they might drop it and then they're arrested and then it's a false arrest and they can sue. So, yeah, on the other end of it, a lot of the big supermarkets and that, they don't have enough security guards and they can write off the losses that they would incur from theft and pilfering. So, yeah, I can see it. Yeah. Great show, guys. Sorry, I can't come on.
Classic Hits Radio.
Hi, yeah, just listening to your show there. Yeah, so unfortunately, that security guard is right in what he says. He has to witness the theft himself. He cannot just go by what someone comes up to tell him. What could have happened was he could have went and stopped the guys, but that lady would have to go with him and be a witness as to her seeing the theft. And being a security guard myself, that turns everybody away from witnessing thefts. Hope this helps. Thank you.
Thanks very much. It does help because it gives us some insight into the frustration that people are feeling and coming at it from a security guard's point of view. I get completely where you're coming from and how many people would want to stand up in court and go witness against someone who is possibly dangerous and is a career criminal as well. Let me go to Paul. Paul, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you?
Hi, Jeremy. Love the show.
Thanks
for having me on.
Thanks very much.
You're very welcome. I do agree with that last caller in relation to that, what he said was, and he's 100% right, people don't care anymore, which is sad, because as long as people don't care, the more crime is going to go on and it'll get worse and worse and worse and God knows where it will end.
But as well, the incidents like that are just sending out the wrong message, aren't they? They're literally sending out a message to any shoplifter that it's open day. It's now open day that you can do whatever you want.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And that, and some of them know. I mean, I had a friend who worked at Marks and Spencer's for years, and he knew the shoplifters. They knew him by name. They'd get arrested, and they'd say, "Boy, Tony, see you in an hour." And they'd be out and back, in an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, but, yeah, I have an incident that happened with my niece only a week ago. And this happened over at the, just at the Eternal Plain there, the IFSC, crossing the Bus Aris. This is about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. She was walking along with two of her boys. One was at a pram and one was walking beside her, the three-year-old, and they tried two men of Middle Eastern, Arab-looking, she said, came and they tried to grab her three-year-old from beside the pram. Now, she wasn't letting go as a mother. She was screaming and screaming, and but they weren't giving up either. They were trying to abduct him. And
my only God.
An Irish guy, two Irish guys come over and helped her. She would have lost one of her children. You know, now the guards did say to her, the guards are all on top of this and they are taking it very seriously. And obviously there's plenty of CCTV footage in that area, and especially at that time of the day, which is good because they really get face recognition on that, I suppose.
Is this under the train bridge that goes across the Liffey there, just beside Bus Aris? Is that where it was?
Just beside Bus Aris. Well, it wasn't there. It was near the Eternal Flame, that little ball of
the little island. Yeah, the little island. That's
So it was. I think she was just there, and that's where they tried to abduct them. Now the one thing about this story is a couple of days beforehand, she'd been in a shop in Talbot Street. And some man, again, of Arab-looking descent or Middle Eastern descent, came over and gave her son a kiss on the forehead or on the head and walked off.
That's very strange.
And the next day, her son seen him. She says, "Mommy, there's that man again." So I don't know whether it was related or whether they're following her, but all her boys are blonde, blonde.
Let me go back to this attempted abduction. I'm sure she's traumatised by the whole thing that happened.
Totally, and so are the kids.
Yeah, I'd imagine. Yeah. Did they pull up was it in a van or what was it?
No, they were walking.
Walking?
They were walking, yeah. They just walked up and grabbed the little three-year-old, the infant, walking beside the pram. And the guard said to her, that could have been a distraction. It could have been after the other one.
But yeah.
Obviously they didn't get it. And thank God for the men who came and helped her. And two Irish guys came and helped her. And they weren't letting go. And eventually these guys let go and they ran off. So they weren't in a van, at least. She didn't see any van or car. They just walked up and tried to grab them.
Now, as a parent of two kids who are in the pram at the moment, that absolutely terrifies me to think that is happening. But as you said, there should be mountains of CCTV footage in that particular area. So where is it at the moment? Where is this case at the moment?
Well, the guards are looking into CCTV footage. They've taken DNA from the child's clothing, and so at the moment there's been no word back yet. It was only a week ago, but the guards are taking it very seriously. Thank God, you know, because this is not an unusual event. This happens all over Europe, I believe, people trafficking, and especially boys of blonde hair. Now, I remember years ago I worked in a large company, and we were going over to Euro Disney. I was bringing my two children to Euro Disney when my kids were only very young. My son, I think, was about two at the time. And he was really blonde. And a girl I worked with said to me, "You be careful over there," she said, "because Arabs love blonde boys." And I thought, nah, I didn't think
I know, that's a sweeping statement as well.
Well, but it's a true statement. I mean, I studied Middle Eastern history and culture for years.
Well, when I was in Morocco with our son, people were fascinated by him because he has a full head of blonde hair, and people were, but not in a bad way, they were just fascinated. Would you do me a favor, Paul? Because
sure.
I'm actually shaken even listening to that story as a father. Stay in contact with us, will you, please? Because Jane, will you keep in contact? We're going to contact you next week, one of the days, to find out what's been done about it and if anything has actually happened about it. Because I'd imagine the guards will take that seriously. They have to. That's shocking in broad daylight. Oisin, very quickly, because I'm running out of time on this. That was unbelievable, wasn't it?
Jesus, that mother of God. Could you imagine that?
No. I actually can't.
No, I'm actually sick to my stomach. Honest to Christ.
That is every parent's worst nightmare. Now, you got shot. Is that correct?
I did. I got shot twice.
Now, don't mention company names or anyone you worked for.
No. For me, troubles in security for years. Retail, bar work, pub work, security, door work, you name it, blah, 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 blah. And every other comment you've had is right. Security guard has to watch, has to witness it, had to see it. And if they don't catch the perps quick enough to get out the door, it's not that you can't do anything about it. Once they leave the premises, technically they're on a public pathway, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You can apprehend them if you want, but it's up to you. Security guards aren't paid enough. Anybody listening, don't do it. Trust me, I did it for years. It's not worth it.
And to tell me about you're obviously alive to tell the tale. Were you wearing a bulletproof vest or something?
No. It was. I'd be honest with you. Some of the places I worked, it was getting to that stage. And for me, troubles anyway, trying to apprehend and stop somebody. And that didn't work out too well. So it was literally a retaliation drive-by. And they knew I was on, and I got shot twice in the leg.
Oh, my God.
And I vowed, now this is about 10, 12 years ago, and I'm not lying to you, and I wouldn't do it live on national airwaves. I vowed from that day on, I'm never doing security again. I wasn't.
Why would you? Yeah.
I wasn't afraid. I'm not a big, big man, a tough man, if you know what I mean. But I said, I was shaken by it, but I said, I'm never going back to doing it again, ever. That's it, I'm done. I did it for about 15 years, and I said, no, that's it.
To be honest, no job is worth that risk, Oisin.
It isn't, to be honest with you. And funny enough, I do work part-time in retail. And issues have come up whereby, he's coming in, she's coming in. And I actually had to take a step back because it is on my CV that I've done security. And I was approached numerous times. And I said, excuse me, if you don't mind, on my application there, it has sales advisor. At no stage does it have security. I said, I'll back up my mates and I'll look after my people I work with.
Yep.
But I'm not following. I said, your stock is insured. It's totally insured. And I'm not doing it again.
Well, I'm delighted you're still alive to tell the tale. Thanks very much, Oisin, for sharing your story with us. And thank you, Paul. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, everybody who called in on that. That has been a real eye-opener. Maybe not for some of you. Maybe some of you were well aware of how dangerous our cities were, but that is absolutely crazy. Attempted abductions, security being shot, knives being pulled. And you have to ask yourself the question, you know, as a security guard, is your life worth the risk over stock that is probably insured by the shop? But that has been an eye-opener, I'm sure, for a lot of you.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic hit.